This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And our message for this session is a message that was first published in November of the year 2018. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is found in St. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And if you have your scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come." Title for this message is "The Truth Is What It Is," part number 9. This is part 9 of a 10-part series here. Now, last month I indicated that it was crunch time. What I mean by that is all of what I have been leading up to can be summed up by this one statement. No Christian, I don't care if they are black, white, or whatever, male or female, young or old, no matter what denomination they are connected with, has any business being involved with the Democratic Party, period. That means either as an office holder, candidate, or supporter. And it especially means you should not be voting for them either. If you are, you are essentially giving them the enemy of Christ, of the Christ that you're supposed to be serving, your stamp of approval. If you are a pastor, you are essentially making it appear that God approves of them, seeing that you are supposed to be His messenger. One of the most hypocritical things you as a pastor can do is to allow them to come into your church, stand in the pulpit, and ask your flock for their support at the polls. For all intents and purposes, you might as well allow Satan to address your congregation, seeing that the two are aligned together. Of course, if you are playing church and not taking your office seriously and just doing it for the money, prestige, or popularity, then you are a disgrace to that office. And everything that happens as a result of your actions is going to be on you. The reason I say this is because every piece of legislation that these people sign on to has your blessing on it. And as a result, when it fails or causes a majority of the people to suffer, which it will, because God will see to it, then that is another strike against you. As I have mentioned so many times before, the problems this nation has can all be traced back to one group of individuals that has passed under the radar of public scrutiny, and that is preachers. The reason I say this is simple. Most of our politicians attend some type of church, and as such, they sit and hear messages from the pastor or other preacher coming supposedly from the Bible. Now, if they take the position that the Bible is God's word, then they have reason to believe that what the preacher is telling them is what God has revealed to them, talking about the preacher. Consequently, when they leave the church and go back to their jobs, they truly believe that what they are standing for and believing in is what God wants them to do. I am not saying that all Democrats are bad people with evil intentions, even though the leaders appear to be a different story. However, since even the leadership may attend church, they enter with the mindset that no matter what they hear, their minds are made up. As leaders of a political party, they wield tremendous power. And as such, anyone that is close to them also has a degree of influence that can be used to their advantage, either negatively or positively, among the common folk. The power these people has is akin to that of the president of this nation. Under our system, even though the president holds the office of leader of this nation, he or she does not hold absolute power. If they want something done, they have to go through the House and the Senate to get their approval before they can go forth. The president does have the ability to issue an executive order from time to time to get certain things done, but that is a very limited power. What he or she does while they are in office from the first term in office will determine whether they will get a chance for a second term, so they have to be careful. If they do get a second term, then they could go hog wild, so to speak, and set up situations that will either be a positive or negative path for this nation to be on. Anyway, the Congress and the Senate are responsible for making and approving the laws in this land. Consequently, it is these laws that God is looking at and seeing what this nation thinks is right and wrong. Now, depending on what these laws represent, will determine how will he respond. If they are something that is in line with his word, then he will have no problem blessing us. That is the loving side of God. However, he does have another side, and friends, you don't want to chance going there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." There is no fear of God in these people today because they believe, thanks to preachers, that God is all about love and forgiveness. However, as the Bible tells us, there are two sides to God. They can be called the right side and the left. The right side is the side of righteousness and perfection. Those that are on that side of him are in for everything that represents all that he promises those that walk uprightly before him. Those that are on the other side of him are those that, though he loves them, are to be cursed by sickness, disease, poverty, and death. Why would he do this? Not because he can, but because he must. If he didn't, then the result would be these people would set about getting worse and worse, and those that were doing the right thing would have no incentive to continue doing it. Even as children, parents have to instill in them that there is pain in disobedience. Excuse me. That is why we are directed by God to spank our disobedient child or children. If you don't spank them while they are young, someone that they don't know might seriously injure or kill them later because of something wrong that they did or said to that person that you let them get away with while they were young. How many times have you and I seen parents, especially mothers, crying out why when they are told that their child was seriously injured or killed by someone else over something that made no sense? Then the other person said that they did it because of something their child the son or daughter said or did to them. Much of the violence that goes on in this nation comes from the complete breakdown of the main unit of this, that is responsible for raising a child in the to be a responsible adult. And I'm talking about the parent. The parents are the ones that are responsible for training the child up to be a productive citizen in this nation and among the people, but they aren't doing it for whatever reason. Even in this, Democrats have a distorted view because, once again, they believe that family is nothing more than two people living together with kids. God's design is a man and a woman united in marriage, with him as the head and breadwinner and her as his helper, keeping the house and raising the children as directed by God. Democrats see it as any two people, including two men or women, living together, married or not, raising children as they see fit, as long as they don't abuse or spank them. Thanks to them, marriage has become whatever people want it to be. In fact, marriage as God designed it is rejected as being too restrictive. As a result, people don't even get married. They just live together for a while, then go their separate ways when they get tired of their partner. All of this while preachers, their friends, say nothing. If they do, they are mixing church and state and being hypocritical, seeing that most of them are engaged in some type of immoral behavior themselves. The thing is, there are two ways of doing things: God's way or not. That's it. Anything less than his way and you are headed for trouble. I mentioned earlier about the man being the head of the house and the woman being his helper. They, today's modern liberated women, don't like that. They prefer to be co-heads of the family. Have you seen what happens when you have two leaders in anything when they disagree on something? Unless one of them gives in, nothing will get done. God says that the woman should submit to the husband, but today that is seen by liberals as him bullying her. So they protest and get the laws changed in their favor. And what happens? The marriage breaks down, and the children get misdirected on what a family is and how it is to supposed to be, how it's supposed to work. So when they grow up, they decide to just live together with their partner and not even try to get married. All of this, mind you, with the blessing of most of our illustrious black preachers that go along with this nonsense. And you think God is going to put up with this mess? Look around you. The black community is the poster child of what happens when you defy him. This because we are the number one supporters of everything that God hates, be it abortion, which is the number one thing that he hates, homosexuality, affirmative action, separation of church and state, telling him, which basically means telling him to butt out of our affairs and government, and a whole lot more. We support it all. If it wasn't for us, these things wouldn't be an issue because there would be no Democratic Party to keep them legal. We are the ones that they depend on to keep them in power. Mind you now, this is the same party whose foundation is built on slavery. They are the ones that started the Civil War to keep it legal. They are the ones that terrorized and lynched blacks, had a former high-ranking member of the KKK as a distinguished senator and mentor, talking about Robert Byrd as well as George Wallace, who blocked black children from entering into public schools in his state when JFK ended segregation, and they are the ones behind the assassinations of him, RFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and other black leaders in the civil rights movement. And who do blacks overwhelmingly and exclusively support? The Democratic Party. Sounds like we are enslaved to them again, thanks in large part to those black preachers. If the black community can support the killing of over 78 million unborn babies and not think twice about it, then God can let our children, young and old, be killed and die in the streets of America and not think twice about that. Read Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. It is called reaping what you have sown. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Either from the Christian standpoint as the Antichrist, or the human standpoint as the party of slavery and racism, blacks need to wake up and, as they say, smell the coffee. This party is leading the black community and this nation to destruction, and they can only succeed if they stay in power, and they can only do that if the black community continues to throw their support behind them. And what keeps us tied to them? Our so-called friend, affirmative action, which, as I said before, God rejects. When you go to the polls to vote in November, you can send the Antichrist Democratic Party a message. You can let them know that you, as a Christian, are not going to support the works of the devil anymore. And you are not going to support the political party that continues to treat blacks as if they are their slaves. This is what at the time 2018, but now I'm going to say this is now 2024 and not the times of slavery. Remember, this party bared false witness, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, against Brett Kavanaugh last month to destroy him and his family to protect abortion. This is what the devil does not keep as his prize. Quite frankly, given the actions of this party has been involved in, to regain power is a telltale sign of just who and what they are. Next month, I will be coming to a close. And that's the end of this part, and I hope that you picked up something from it. As I said, you know, you had 9 chapters, including this one, to begin to see the picture of what I'm talking about as far as how the black community operates and reacts towards black preachers, both those that are conservative or God-fearing preachers and versus those that aren't preachers, or they aren't they're liberal democratic preachers. So there's a lot of things here to hash in. So in order for me to go on and finish, I'm going to close now by just saying, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together for part number 10 of our message from the Word of God. Good day.